I speak to you in the name of the living God, blessed Trinity, and lover of your souls. Amen. While walking one blustery day, Dr. John Amadeo's hat blew off his head, and a kind woman picked it up for him, graciously handed it to him, and caught off guard, Dr. Amadeo felt a curious mix of uncomfortable feelings. He noticed that his immediate impulse was to quickly stoop down and pick up the hat before she did, conveying the message, I can take care of myself. I don't need anybody else's help. And when she beat him to it, well, he noticed an awkward, squirmy feeling inside his body. Now, instead of completing that movement toward the hat, he decided in a split second of mindfulness, to observe what was happening inside himself. The mix of feelings and thoughts coursing through him were something like, I don't want to bother anyone. I don't want anyone to go out of their way to take care of me. I don't want to be seen as a needy person who doesn't know how to take care of himself. It's a little embarrassing to admit that I was being the typical Western male, he writes, trained to be independent, projecting an image of being strong and not pathetically dependent. Or perhaps, he thought, maybe I'm just experiencing the human condition. It's not easy for most of us to allow ourselves to be vulnerable, even just a little bit, even to accept kindness from a stranger. Why is it so darn hard for me and others to receive, he asks. His answer was shame, a painful sense of feeling flawed, defective, or pathetic that made him want to scoop up his hat before that woman could. Shame from that place inside each one of us where we believe that if others could see our real or imagined flaws, we would lose all their respect. We'd be judged negatively. But it helped when he thought for a moment about how he might respond if the woman who retrieved his hat had lost her hat, if the situation had been reversed. He would have reacted the same way that she did, he realized. He would have been delighted to offer her assistance, not because he perceived the woman as helpless or weak, but because it feels good to be helpful, especially when picking up a hat is such a simple thing to do. See, during a moment of offering kindness, there's a certain kind of connection that occurs between people, but only if the person who's receiving that kindness does so graciously. Otherwise, the connection is broken. In that instant, before picking up his hat, he was able to be curious about his own feeling of shame, take a deep breath, and allow himself to receive the hat, and not only the hat, but the woman's open-hearted intention toward him. And so Dr. John walked away with the realization that he didn't fully recognize this opportunity before him for connection, to receive a gift of kindness, until he could see it with the eyes of his heart enlightened. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe according to the working of his great power. These are words from today's reading from Ephesians, Scripture's invitation for you and for me to allow God to open the eyes of our hearts to the hope to which we are called, our inheritance as saints of God. Today, after all, we are celebrating All Saints Day on what is technically All Souls Day. Today is the third day of a triduum of holy days that began on All Hallows' Eve. Now, long, long ago, these 3 days were celebrated by all at the fall harvest and the approach of winter, a season change that provided a reminder of our human mortality. And in the old Celtic tradition, the tradition was to hold a bonfire on the first night of the triduum, on what we call Halloween, to frighten away the evil spirits and allow the souls of dead loved ones to fly off to their eternal homes. On All Saints, we remember the people of faith who came before us, and on All Souls, we honor loved ones who have died. All 3 days mark a time that we, the church, celebrate our continuing communion with those we love and rest in the hope that we will share with them in the inheritance of heaven. And today, we add symbolism to our human movement from death to life with Archer's baptism. The promise of eternal life is the inheritance that Archer will receive today. And it's the inheritance that today's reading from Ephesians speaks of. Now, there are 3 words in today's text that help us grasp just how we are to attain this inheritance, all which share one concept in common: receptivity. Receptivity. This word inheritance shows up 3 times in the chapter. Each time it refers to the ancient Jewish concept of an allotted portion of land that is granted by God, land that's given as a gift to whomever God appoints. Now for the Christian, our inheritance is like an allotted plot of land granted in the kingdom of heaven. This plot is sealed at your baptism, and your baptismal task is simply to receive it. The expectation of receptivity, it's there, and it shows up again in another word in this text. The Greek word is dynamis, power, referring to the power of God. By the power of God, the Holy Spirit makes us saints, holy ones. Holy is what the word saint actually means, and holy is just a fancy church word for different. For different. For an object like that wooden table over there, or the wooden table that we commonly have down here for Eucharist. For it to be made into the table of the Lord, well, it must be consecrated, made sacred, set apart for communion, which are all various ways of saying the same thing. God makes that table different from any other table. God makes it holy. So it is with human beings. In baptism, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are sealed as God's own, made different, made into saints, heirs of God's kingdom. Dynamis, the power of God. It is not strength that comes from within us to make ourselves saints. That's not how sainthood works. Saints are not necessarily people who have done remarkable things. Saints are made by receiving God's remarkable power into their lives. Scripture calls this moment of human receptivity to God's power faith. And I think that tells us something remarkable about faith. Faith is so simple that a baby can do it at his baptism. Faith is receptivity to God doing something in us. And today's baptism is to us a symbol of ultimate receptivity, the greatest example of what it looks like to have faith, a child allowing God's power to happen. Maybe that's why Jesus tells us that we must be like a child if we ever want to enter into God's kingdom. Martin Luther, that great reformer, called the simplicity of faith sola fide, faith alone. Faith receives rather than achieves the greatness of divine power. And the final word in today's reading from Ephesians that reveals this theme of receptivity is the word enlightened. Now, the word's root is the same word from which we get the English word for photo or photon. It means light, illumination, that which is needed for human eyes to see. This word enlightened occurs 11 times in all the New Testament, and it's always attributed to divine activity. Only the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, or a direct messenger of God ever imparts the light of revelation. Not once in Scripture does the word describe human self-enlightenment. Not once. The word enlightened conveys a gracious action of God to dispel cosmic darkness, to dispel our mortal intellectual shortcomings, our mortal unknowing, a light that even dispels our eschatological dread. In today's text, the word enlightened reveals the work of God in us, helping us to receive the light of God. And herein lies the miracle of faith. It is true that without faith you cannot receive the eternal inheritance. But faith is not something you have to generate. It's not something you have to make happen on your own. God enlightens the eyes of your hearts so that you can receive. And see, this Greek word for heart, it's a metaphor for the core of who you are as a person. Cardia is the Greek word. It's used over 800 times in the Bible, and not once does it refer to the literal physical pump in the center of your chest. Your heart is the figurative place within yourself where you choose to receive. Christ will shine the light. Will you open the eyes of your heart to see the hope that has been given to you? I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe according to the working of his great power? Our psychotherapist friend from earlier reminded us that it is hard for human beings to receive. Maybe that's why faith feels hard sometimes. Shame and our own uncertainties can get in the way. But it is our desire for connection that continues to come back, that draws us to accept our own vulnerabilities and receive gifts from others and from God. Will you allow God to pick up your proverbial hat and hand it back to you, hand you your own inheritance? Might you believe that you are different enough to be counted as a saint of God? You don't have to think too hard about that question. Just take your cue from Archer. All you have to do is to allow the power of God to help you see that it is all already true. May the eyes of your heart be enlightened today.